Hey, I'm Clayton Carpenter. I'm here with Dave Bice of Collaborative Consultants. He's also the author of Control Your Career. Today we're going to talk about his book, what it is, what the processes are, and how you can incorporate it into your life. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, Clayton. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm excellent.
So where did the book come from?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. When I first started my first job as an engineer, I thought that my department head had a career plan for me. I thought he had these templates that he put people into and that he had this idea of what was the best career path for me. And he knew that my resume, the things that I was missing, things that I needed to develop in my career, and that he was giving me assignments in my career that would enable me to gain those experiences that I needed over time. I couldn't have been more wrong. And one thing I did was I went to my department head about a year or so into my career. And I sat down with him and I said, I'd like to see it. And he goes, see what? I said, I'd like to see my plan that you have. What's the career development plan that you have laid out for me? And he started laughing. He said, son, all I do is plug holes. Programs have needs, and I put people in them. He said, I don't have any more time for anything other than that. I don't have any magic folder that has any career plan for you. He said, everything's kind of the luck of the draw. Whatever programs need you, that's where I put people. So it was an eye-opening experience for me, and I realized at that point that I was putting my career into the hands of someone I barely knew. And he didn't know me at all. Why was I letting him have control over my career? Why was I abdicating my career to him? That was foolhardy on my part. I don't know why I thought that. It was just, but I don't think I was alone. And I realized that I was the only one who knew what my career should be. I needed to understand that. And so I needed to have control over what I was doing and where I went, and not let somebody who barely knew me define it, or worse yet, because that's the case I was in, I was just letting it go to chance. Whatever was happening out there, just let things happen to me, and I was just going by whatever would happen or come my way, that's the path I was on. And that may not be the path you want to be on or even that you would enjoy. What I discovered was that there are many things that really help us enjoy life. And then there are some things that we really hate to do in life. And it's really important to understand those things that what I call energy creating activities. You know, have you ever been at a time where you spent all day long doing something, at the end of the day, you felt like you had more energy, you could have kept on going, and it was just, you were just full of energy, even though you worked all day long on something? Those are activities where we actually create energy for ourselves. And then there are some activities, like for me, it's accounting. I can do it, but I don't like it. And at the end of the day, even if I do it for a couple of hours, I'm really tired. I'm exhausted, I'm drained. And while I can do it, I don't really enjoy it, and it's not an energy creating activity for me. We all have those. We all have those natural gifts and abilities. And so I think it's really important for us to do a lot of self-reflection and understand what is it that we are really good at? What are those things that are energy creating activities for us? What are the things that are energy draining activities for us? And write those down and talk to people about them. Kind of explore with people that you know about and know you. This is what I think I'm good at. And kind of be honest. Get some honest criticism so that you're not fooling yourself about what you're really good at and what you're not. But do that honest self-reflection. And it's good to go back into our earliest childhood days, as far back as we can go. Because I believe those things that we're really good at, those things that are energy creating, are innate in everybody. And you start to exhibit those at a very early age. You know, some children are can start playing the piano without ever having a lesson. And they start exhibiting that as at a very early age and start sitting down and playing the piano, like Mozart or Elton John. Those are people that showed that they could do certain talents very, very early in life. And it's good to understand because we all have those. We all have those natural abilities. And we need to understand what those are and be able to exploit those. Because when you do that, you wind up spending an entire day doing nothing but the things that you love to do. And I know when I first started doing engineering, I couldn't believe someone was actually going to pay me to do something that I love to do. I would have done it for free. I wasn't going to tell them that, but because I'll take the money. But what you'll find is that when you do the things you love to do and you're so good at it, you wind up being able to get paid for those things. And you can make a living at doing what you love to do. And that's when you start fulfilling your ultimate destiny and what's really soul fulfilling for you. So that's what that's how I started the book. I thought, not everybody thinks of it this way. And as I went through my career, I realized that people just didn't take control of their own career. So I started as a department head, helping people develop their own career. I developed a process for how to do that and how to create those plans for everyone. And it really worked well. Everyone I ever worked with really enjoyed it, enjoyed the process, and learned something about themselves along the way. And then they could create their own plan and create their own careers. And many times it took them on paths that they were not on and had never even thought about before. I had one engineer who, after working through my career development process, wound up becoming a lawyer because that was really what was the energy creating activity for him, if you can believe that. But it was, he was really good at those things. So it's really interesting if we start to look at ourselves, understand who we are, what we're good at, and then understanding how can I get paid for those activities? And then we can start to build our own career plan and take control of it for ourselves.
So how do you kind of assess where you are and plot the next trek, you know, the next few steps?
Yeah. So when you, again, the key is that self-reflection, understanding what you're really good at, what are those energy creating activities? And then you need to look at, okay, what kind of jobs are out there that are like that? What are the things that I could do? And then understand, okay, for those kind of jobs, what are the requirements? How do I get to that point? So we need to look at where do we want to go and where am I at now? So you can start to plot out what are the activities that I need to do. Sometimes you may discover, hey, I need to go to school and get a bachelor's degree in a specific field in order to get that job, because that's how they're hiring those people. They have to be, like in my case, I wanted to be an engineer. So a prerequisite for that was getting an engineering degree. And I did that. And then I realized I was really good at managing people. So I got a master's in engineering management. And so those are the steps that we need to go through and think about. What are the things that we're good at? What do we enjoy? And then what are the prerequisites to get that job? And then start filling in those holes that you have. I didn't have a master's degree, so I needed to go get one. And then that will open up opportunities for you. The other thing that's really important is to, once you have those steps in mind and you know what the goals are that you want to go to, you need to share your plan with other people. Talk to people about it. Say, hey, I'm thinking about, I want to become a manager. And then as you talk to people, they'll say, hey, you know, there's a management position open over here. Have you thought about applying for it? It starts opening up opportunities that you never knew existed. So you can't just create a plan and then hide it. You have to create a plan and share it with people because that will open up opportunities for you. Keep focused on it. Always look at your plan. Always be looking for ways to improve your plan and assess whether or not it's still valid, because we all change over time. And what the plan that you have for yourself when you're a teenager or getting out of college may not be the same plan that you have when you're 40 years old. and in your midlife. And it certainly won't be the same plan when you're getting ready for retirement. So we need to be thinking about what's the plan for our lives as we move throughout our life and the different stages that we all have in our life. And it'll be different. So we should always be looking at it and changing it. And then as we share our plans with people, that'll open up opportunities for us. The other thing I think is really important is to be able to look for people who can mentor us. So when you have a goal in mind, when you think about, I want to get that job, I want to become a manager, or I want to go become a lawyer, whatever that is, look for people in those areas that could become mentors for you. And ask them, hey, can you be my mentor? More and more people are willing to be mentors for others, just share their free time. It's an honor and a privilege to be a mentor for somebody. So ask them. You'd be surprised. Almost everyone I've ever asked has said, yes, I'd love to. And the ones that didn't always said, well, I don't have the time, or I'm really busy. Sorry, I don't think I'm a good fit. And then they'd recommend somebody else. But that was very few and far between. Almost everyone accepted. So, and it's okay to have more than one, because then you'll get different perspectives. Value that time, because a mentorship relationship needs to be a two-way relationship. That's when it really works, is when you contribute as much to the relationship as your mentor contributes to you. So don't look at it as, hey, I'm just going to be receiving information from the mentor. It's also got to be, you have to be giving something back. So look for what you can do to help that mentor as well. And because if it's just a one-way street where all you're doing is getting feedback from them and you're not really contributing anything to them, they're not going to benefit from it. And then the relationship will start to falter. It has to be a two-way street. So look for ways that you can contribute to the mentor as well. And you'll be surprised how much you can do, even if you offer your time or you find ways to contribute to their life. It makes it meaningful. And then that relationship will continue for possibly forever as you mature and grow.
So where does the resume come in there?
Good question. So as you look for new opportunities, you're going to have to apply for jobs. And the best way to communicate your gifts and talents is to write a resume and submit your resume to those jobs. So it's important to have a resume that's tailor-made to a specific job that you're applying for. I've seen so many people that will write a resume and it'll be 3 pages long and it'll have everything that they've ever done in their entire career. Nothing could be worse, because it's so hard to go through all that and sift through and find out, is that person tailor-made for the job? And most managers are looking for that one individual that's tailor-made for the job that I'm looking for. So only put down on your resume those things that are tailor-made for that job that you're applying for. So you want to have maybe 3, 4, maybe even 10 different resumes at your fingertips that are ready-made for a specific type of job that you want to get in, get some experience. So, you know, if you're looking to be a manager, maybe you want to be an assistant manager, as an example. So have a job resume that's tailor-made that shows how you are ready to become an assistant manager and why that's a tailor-made job just for you. And you've got all those experiences. You don't need to put down things that don't apply to becoming a manager or an assistant manager. Only put down those things that apply specifically for that job. It's okay to have gaps in your career plan, or just minimize those and with the one-liners. Don't put down that information, because it's hard for managers to sift through all of that detail. And it should be just one page. If you have more than a page, it makes it too long to read. And I've seen so many resumes now that are at least 2 pages long. And they say now it's okay to have 2-page resumes. It's kind of expected. But a manager really likes it if they see just one. It helps them focus on that individual and makes you stand out now from all the other ones that are applying for that same job. So, and on your resume, You need to identify those key aspects that will trigger you for the discussion that you'll have in the interview that you're going to have with the manager. And what I mean by that is think about those activities that you've done in your life. You can talk about specific points that have made you ready for that specific job. There'll be activities that you've had. There'll be things that you've done. And so you want to talk about those situations that you've been in that help you get you prepared for that specific job. Think about what you've done, how you contributed to that job, and what was the result from that job. And then just put a teaser in your resume for that specific activity. You accomplished X, Y, and Z. I was able to manage a certain project, and I got it done in schedule and on budget, and I managed that in a very quick and efficient way. And just give the highlights for it in your resume. And then that's going to prompt the manager to say, hey, tell me about this on your resume. How did you do that? And then you just dive into what you did. And it creates a very natural flow for the interview process so that you can be very prepared for those questions that he's going to want to know more about you. And just create that environment that allows you to naturally speak about yourself. So the resume should be almost a teaser, if you will, for the interview process, where they start teasing out questions about you, what you accomplished, what you've done, and prompt them to ask you more questions. But it should be tailor-made for that specific job. Don't put anything more than that. And then when you're in the interview, think about those tough questions that they're going to ask, like, what are some of your weaknesses? And what I like to do is look at your weaknesses, identify what those are, and then turn those weaknesses into positives so that when they ask you, you know, what's the biggest failure that you've ever had, or tell us about what the what your weaknesses are that could prevent you from accomplishing this job. Turn those into a positive so that they're going to say, oh, okay, that's actually not such a bad thing. So if you've got a failure, turn it into a positive about what you learned about that experience, how you benefited from that, and how you're never going to have that failure again because you learned from that failure. Or if you're looking for what your weaknesses are, turn that around into how that became your strength and how it'll be positive for the company. One of the things sometimes I'll say is, well, I tend to put my heart and soul into my job and I become overly involved, and I need to put a balance in my life. And that's sometimes my biggest weakness, is just by trying to do too much for the business. No one's going to be upset about that as a weakness. So look for those kinds of things and have those answers ready for those kinds of questions, because I guarantee they're going to ask them. So they always do.
What's the reevaluation process once you've already gotten this complete and you need to go back and check it?
Yeah, it's always important to do a level check on your plan. Once you've written it down and once you have a plan for yourself as where you want to go, always be reevaluating it and thinking about, does it still apply to me? Or maybe there's new opportunities out there that I hadn't considered before. And maybe there's a different direction I want to go in. Or maybe I've changed and I need to be looking at something different in my life, and that this really wasn't the career I had planned, I thought it was. Or maybe there's not as much of those energy creating activities in this job as I thought. And so reevaluating what those are and where you could go, or maybe there's a different job that you hadn't considered before that has more energy creating activities that are tailor-made for you. So be open to that. Be open to those changes and talk to people about it. Talk to your mentors, share your plans with your mentors and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. And then they can say, hey, you know what? There's another opportunity over here that you may not have considered. And that happens all the time with people, because you don't know all the different opportunities that are out there. And the more you share, the more you're going to learn about what's actually out there, and then adapt your plan to be able to be flexible and change as you grow and as you learn. And then you'll be willing to deviate from your plan. You know, once you've written it down, it doesn't mean it's cast in concrete. All you have to do is change it and then move to in a different direction for what's right for you. And we all change. And so it's important for us to know I can change my plan to adapt to what I want to do. And as I evolve and mature, my plans are going to change as well and be willing to change it and look for new opportunities. So it's always an evolving process. And so you want to close the loop and come back to the very beginning, reevaluate yourself, and always good to have self-reflection. I like to do it at least once a year, if not more often, and look and see what am I really good at? And if I learned anything new about myself this year. And then how does that affect my plan and my career? And then it becomes just a constant cycle, if you will, of going back to the beginning, reevaluating, updating my plan, talking to people about it, and updating the resume, and then going through the interview process and looking for new opportunities. So it's a way where you can now have control of your plan and not just leave it to chance and up to someone who doesn't hardly even know you.
So the book is laid out kind of like a workbook, a step-by-step process.
It is. That's a good point. The book that I wrote is really a tool for someone to go through and answer all the questions and help people think about themselves, do a self-reflection. It's like a mirror, if you will, to hold up and have you just look at yourself, ask the questions about what I'm good at, what are the energy creating activities. And then I've laid it out so there's blank sections where you can just write down what are the things I'm good at, what are the opportunities that I have. It helps you prepare a resume, gives you examples of that, helps you prepare for an interview process, helps you look for mentors. So all of those things that we've talked about, it's a way of sitting down and going through a step-by-step process to help you take control of your career. Awesome. And you can find it on Amazon.com or our website.
Very nice. So, and you also mentioned possibly doing career development sessions with people one-on-ones.
Oh, I'd be happy to. Yeah, that's a good point. I love having discussions with people and talking to them about their career. And a lot of times in my career, when I've talked to people about where do you want to go in life, most people say, I don't have a clue. I just did this, got this job, and I don't know where it's going. So I'm just in it for the job right now, in it for the money. And it's fun to help people think about and take control of their career. So I enjoy that. If people want to, they can log on to the website and schedule some time to be able to have those discussions, so those one-on-one times.
Perfect. Anything else, Dave?
Nope. That sounds good. Thank you for your time, Clayton.
My pleasure. Thanks for sharing. And I look forward to sharing more of the book and more of the tools and the portal and all of this. So thank you for everything, and we'll talk soon.
Take care, Clayton.